have two speakers to start, and then we would invite you after we finish to provide your own memories of Beth, if you feel so inclined. Julie Willis, my niece, will start with her tribute.
All right.
Good afternoon, everyone. As Aunt Mo just said, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Julie Gillis, and I was very blessed to be Beth's niece. I want to start off by thanking all of you for being here, for loving our Aunt Beth, and for joining us in celebrating her life today. While my words today surely won't begin to fully describe all that Aunt Beth was to me and to all of us here, I wanted to share a few memories that have been standing out to me over the last 2 weeks, really to honor her spirit and her life. A few years ago, Aunt Beth and I took a day trip out to Percival, Virginia. It's a little town if you don't know it. There's lots of antiquing and wineries along the way. Since graduating from college and moving out to Arizona for graduate school about 6 years ago, it was the most time that Aunt Beth and I had gotten to spend together in honestly, my whole life, just the two of us. You know, we laughed, we shopped, we talked about pretty much everything under the sun. She found me this farmhouse-style plaque with the words "Simply Blessed" written on it. It was the first decoration that I ended up putting up in my new apartment at the time in Arizona, and it still hangs in my kitchen today. It's brought me a lot of peace just looking at it throughout the last couple weeks. Aunt Beth was always generous and excellent at finding meaningful gifts. I remember that day as one when I realized I didn't just have an aunt, but also a true friend and confidant. Last October, I had the opportunity to spend some time, some more treasured time with Aunt Beth during one of her visits to Maryland. She stayed with me for 2 days, which my cat Peggy and my dog Sage loved. She spent hours with them, just snuggled up on the couch, which for the two of them, getting along is a rare occurrence. So she gave them her undivided attention and just loved on them basically her whole trip. And I'm sure all of you who know her love of animals was really a beautiful thing, and I think it really spoke to her, the gentleness of her nature. Just before Aunt Beth came to stay with me that week, my coffee maker had stopped working, which was really a struggle. It was a relatively new coffee maker, and I was certainly frustrated by the whole ordeal. The second day she was with me, while I was at work, she spent literally hours watching YouTube videos, reading and finding user manuals online, and darn it, she made the coffee maker work. you know, she had this patience and dedication to put someone that she loved, me, ahead of herself and make my life a little easier by making sure I had my morning coffee. It was just something that really, in the big scheme of things, might seem really, really small, but it really meant the world to me. And I think, again, that embodied the little things that she would do for others all the time. During that visit, we also had a chance to take some walks and talk about the bigger things in life. I remember one conversation in particular about maintaining our faith through the trials of life. I remember she said to me, "One thing that has taken me many years to learn, so try to learn it sooner than I did, is that no matter how big my problems may seem, nothing is too big for God. He will always love me." She continued to remind me of that fact many times since that conversation. She often shared her favorite Christian music songs and Bible verses that were speaking to her. And these are things that I've been able to find a lot of solace in, not just in the couple weeks since her passing, but even just in the time since it, and it's strengthened my own relationship with God. And I'm truly grateful for her to bring that into my life. Over the years, throughout my entire life, really, Aunt Beth was always there. Her kindness and gentleness could be felt even when we were separated by hundreds of miles. Many times when I was in Arizona, a simple text from her just to check in or say she loved me would brighten even the darkest days. Aunt Beth loved widely and deeply. She shared that love with her friends, her family, and most importantly, the Lord. As I'm sure many of you have in recent days, I've experienced what feels like a million different emotions. While there is much sadness and heartache, the feeling that I've been clinging to most closely is one of thanksgiving. I am thankful to have known, loved, and been loved by my Aunt Beth. I am thankful for the guidance and grace she shared throughout my life. I'm thankful to have been touched by her life because I am better because of it. And most importantly, I am thankful for the knowledge that she is at peace with her beloved God and that we will see her again one day. What a joyful reunion that's going to be. Thank you, guys.
Again, thank you for joining us to help celebrate our sister, daughter, aunt, cousin, niece, friend, colleague, and now our companion angel, Olson. Beth was the fifth of six children, the third of four daughters and two sons, born to Peter and Rita Gillis in Silver Spring, Maryland. And shortly after her birth, we were engulfed by one of the biggest storms in DC history, the Blizzard of 66. Like that storm, being in a large family was tumultuous, noisy, fun, and challenging in many ways. And Beth was, in our dad's words, the happiest baby. I remember playing on our swing set and in the sandbox up below the willow tree with Beth and Kathy as little girls. And as we all grew up, she continued to make us smile and laugh with her silly dances, and I'm sure some of you have seen this over the years, her entertaining stories, and she would belt out songs, excuse me, especially at the dinner table. Beth attended Jackson Road Elementary School, where she became friends with Kristen at a very early age, and a friendship they have maintained for decades. She went on through White Oak Junior High School, and graduated from Springbrook High in 1984. She played several sports, was coached by her brothers, and enjoyed family camping trips to the Eastern Shore and in the mountains of Western Maryland, Virginia, and more. And one of our most memorable trips was in 1972 when we were camping at Shad Landing State Park near the Eastern Shore, and the ages of at least half my siblings were in the single digits. So, what happened is we went through Hurricane Agnes in a tent. So at 2 in the morning, our air mattresses were floating in several inches of water, sleeping bags were soaked, and a 5-inch diameter tree had actually fallen several feet from where we lay in the tent. And the wind and the rain were so loud that we couldn't sleep, and so we packed up, struck the tent, threw gear and kids in the car and headed home, and we were cold and bedraggled, but all eight of us were safe and sound. Beth went on to college and earned an associate degree in criminal justice from Montgomery College. And that was in 1986. She completed her Bachelor of Science in Criminal Justice at University of Maryland University College in 1992. And then she began her career under the tutelage of Jack O'Neill, who later became Beth's dear friend and mentor, along with his wife, Judy. They've had a very, very long relationship. Beth started her 30-plus year career at the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives in the National Laboratory Center in Rockville as an evidence technician. She then worked as a firearms enforcement officer for 5 years. She underwent years of specialized training to learn about identifying, examining, and testing various types of ammunition and firearms. All the while, she quietly made and accumulated friends, participated in family activities and events, and became an avid volleyball player on a women's league in Rockville. She played with teammates, and I can only name a few, Barbie, Kristen, Vicky, Dawn, Sandy, Patty, and others, and remained friends with these wonderful women over the years through games and tournaments, after parties, and vacations. Beth had a 5-year hiatus from firearms enforcement work to be an ATF industry operations specialist, where she was involved with analyzing and evaluating petitions for changes to existing gun regulations. She drafted new and revised existing regulatory documents, and she prepared formal rulings and industry circulars. She attended Maryland Terps games and had a close group of friends, Rudy, Greg, Mark, and others. I actually irreverently called them Rudy and the Dudes. And she tailgated regularly with them. She enjoyed the Orioles and the minor leagues equally, but she definitely favored attending the games, scholastic, and life events of her nieces and nephews. She was very involved in family life, and we have many memories of her attending our weddings, our baptisms, graduations, and funerals. And she was in the core group that regularly visited and looked after our mom when she was in the nursing home. A treasured memory of mine is our congregating with Beth and Angie, Dickie, Taylor, and Lauren on their back deck for a family dinner at the time our mom passed. Beth went on to serve as a forensic science development coordinator for the U.S. Department of Justice, where she implemented and managed 10 forensic science programs in Europe, Eurasia, and Africa. And during that time, she traveled to Morocco, Ukraine, and other countries to carry out these programs and train their personnel on the science and technology of firearms examination. She received commendations and accolades from a number of foreign governments, their law enforcement agencies, for the work that she did. And all the while, her love of animals and nature grew. She supported a number of environmental groups, especially those protecting and restoring the Chesapeake Bay. She supported quite a few other charities and was generous, very generous, with organizations providing service animals to disabled military personnel, animal rescue, Native American charities, and the protection of wildlife. She absolutely loved the ocean, and she was following work that was being done to restore coral reefs. She eventually returned to the work of firearms enforcement officer, where she again did casework. She assisted in federal search warrants. She testified in state, federal, and local criminal proceedings and more. She testified 58 times as an expert witness, including testifying south of our border in a trial against a major drug cartel for which she and the family received death threats. She treasured letters from the victims' families thanking her for her diligence and thoroughness in her work. She was instrumental in bringing awareness and expertise in the use of social media for investigating firearms infractions. She even had a short appearance in a newsreel on national news discussing firearms testing. You guys might be able to find that out on the web sometime. Elizabeth was meticulous, thorough, and diligent in her work, and anyone seeing her notes would instantly recognize this. She deeply desired justice for the victims of firearms violence, and interestingly, she herself never owned a gun. During these decades, she lived in various areas of Maryland and D.C., including several years in Damascus with me, in Northwest D.C. at Dorchester House, where she became good friends with the Goodings and eventually bought a condo in Rockville, Maryland. She was constant in her efforts to stay in contact with her friends and family, and you all probably have had those phone calls and texts over the years. She spent many sun-filled days at the beach with Brian and Patty, James, Mary, Katie, Grampy, Mimi, and other family and friends. She frequently visited and stayed with Joe and Laura, Julie and Sammy, and looked after Jethro the cat. And she cared very deeply and had a very close relationship with our maternal grandfather, Robert Werner, as well as older colleagues and friends, many of whom she visited. She cooked meals for, cleaned for them, and took them to their medical appointments. Beth loved to bake for friends, family, and colleagues, and her specialty was pumpkin bread and chocolate chip cookies. And she spent weeks during the Christmas holidays baking and shipping goodies to friends and family everywhere. And she was interesting in that she ate mostly organic food, and she actually was interested in becoming a vegetarian, but she still secretly loved hot dogs on the grill. And for the folks that know her, she also very much enjoyed wine, especially red wine, and she made a mean margarita. So anyone that was close to Beth, of course, knew of her love for all animals, and she was a cat lover first and foremost. And she, at different points, adopted pretty boy Floyd, then Peanut, and eventually Bella. And she fell in love with giraffes after feeding one at the San Diego Zoo. She had a fascination for wolves and lions and sea life. While living with Michael and me in Kirksville, she was able to meet some new animal friends firsthand, like the rabbits, possums, owls, and other critters that inhabited or visited our yard. And she loved owls and raptors and spent a lot of time at Thousand Hills State Park, which is near our home, where she could spot the overwintering eagles and hawks. She attended a three-part program on owls that inhabit St. Louis. And she was overjoyed when the hummingbirds would return and visit the feeders when she sat out on our porch. One of the things that she learned was, it ain't summer in Missouri until the turkey vultures return. She very much enjoyed small town life, and she made friends everywhere she went. And that included the ladies at the beauty parlor, the place where we took our vehicles to get fixed, and even the men and women that were in her aerobics, her aquatic aerobics class at the aquatic center. She had a real love of gardening, and she spent many, many happy hours tending to tomatoes and various plants in the pots and beds all around our house. She probably wouldn't want me to say this, but I'll say it anyways. She enjoyed watching Disney animated movies with us, the kids' movies. And she also loved the National Geographic and Nature Channel documentaries and series. And she was also a great supporter of arts and crafts folks, and especially painters and jewelry makers and potters. And like our dad, Beth loved a corny pun. And she could hit you with three or four in rapid succession, and you barely recovered before you got zinged again. She's really good at that. She has an amazing memory for music, and she would recall and sing like one or two lines in a song when it was appropriate to the situation at hand. She was just amazing. She could just pull things like from thin air. And she also had a very sly sense of humor. And her last gift to our dad was received during a family Christmas tradition of the White Elephant gift giving. And it was a coprolite. And in case you don't know what that is, it's basically fossilized poop. And I know, Dad, you will treasure that gift. Yep. Beth was a remarkable, exasperating, accomplished, funny, and dear, dear woman. Like all of us, she had troubles in her life, but amazingly, she retained a childlike sense of awe about the world and a gentleness and a curiosity about all those she met. She touched so many lives in so many ways that I can't even mention them all. And to those who do not hear their names or hear memories that were specific to them in this tribute, that fault is mine. It's actually very difficult to express a life well-lived in a few short paragraphs, and with so many memories swirling around in my head at this time, I'm sure I left out some that are dear to you. And for that, I apologize, and please know that Beth loved and cared for all of us, and I hope that you will share your memories. I want to leave you with a final picture of Beth, and one that is close to my heart. When she lived in Kirksville and she was recuperating, she and I would take many walks together as part of her convalescence, and this was to rebuild her strength and her endurance. And we typically did 4 or 5 miles, and we had a specific loop, but after a while that kind of got tiring, and so we just started wandering all throughout Kirksville, and we wandered far and wide, and we walked through parts of Kirksville that I didn't even know existed. And on this one particular day, we took a country road that led towards one of the branches that lead into the lake at Thousand Hills State Park. And it was a gorgeous day. We passed lots of people out in their yards working on their houses, their lawns, their cars, and we would just stop and talk to them, you know, pet their animals and continue down the road. And as we continued, the houses grew sparser and sparser, and eventually we got to an area where there were old RVs, kind of with the tarps over the top, and signs that say Smith & Wesson is my protection, and we're kind of going, ooh, okay, this is getting interesting. But this road ended in a dead end, and towards the end of the road, a passel of kittens and a mother cat came up out of the weeds and ran towards us, just mewing like crazy. And so we bent down to pet all the kittens, and she was so taken with all the little ones that she sat in the middle of this deserted country road, just covered in kittens of all different colors and patterns, just laughing and having the time of her life. And that was our Beth. Thank you. And at this point, I would like to open up the floor to anyone that would like to share a memory, a favorite memory of Beth.
I will. I'm Beth's first cousin, Lori. My dad is right here, and my dad and Beth's mom were sisters, and we have another child of one of the sisters somewhere here. My cousins from Ohio came. This isn't going to be easy. You remember in the early days when Princess Diana was being chased after by the paparazzi, and she would have her head down like that before she became princess? And to me, that was Beth. She was a real-life Princess Diana. Her looks, the way she held her head, the way she looked up, kind of shy. And I just was mesmerized by her beauty, both inside and out. So I always used to tell people, you know, I'm related to Princess Diana. She's my cousin. I don't think people really believe that. But my accent was a little different. And but my fondest memory of Beth, I'm 8 years older. And I'm the youngest of 4 kids. Unlike Gillis's have 6, and the other cousins, the Murphys, there were 11 of them. So I always ask my dad, what the heck? So there were only 4 of us. So it was great to have a little baby to play with. And I had baby dolls. In fact, I named one of them Beth. And my baby dolls had real, because they were big dolls, it was one about that big. And my mom got me real baby clothes for these kid dolls. And when Beth was born and she came over, and I would sneak her upstairs to my bedroom and try to put her in the doll clothes. And she loved it. She was just like, ah. That. That's the most precious thing I can think of. Playing with the cousins. And they all were my little baby cousins, because I'm the bigger one, of course. And you mentioned how Beth enjoyed art and pottery and jewelry making. And one day she surprised me, and my birthday was coming up, and she presented me with some beautiful earrings. And she said, I got them at an art fair or the Tuxedo Factory or something in Alexandria. So one day I said, let's go back down there. And we did. And she said, look, there's the same earrings, the bracelet that matches the earrings. And so she bought me the bracelet as well that matched the earrings. And That's why I wore that, of course. And she was truly generous and loving and one of a kind. And just like the real Princess Diana, she always thought of other people. And I would hear all the stories and the wonderful, wonderful things and the fun times she had with her coworkers and her athletic friends, which I was not, and of course her beloved nieces and nephews and brothers and sisters, and I'm glad I was related to her. Thanks, that's it.
I know someone's got to have some funny stories about Beth.
Okay, I'll come up with some funny.
All right.
Okay, so I'm Patty Gillis, Beth's sister-in-law. And over the last 10 days, we were looking through pictures. And as you're going through pictures, you realize how much someone is involved in your life. And sometimes you forget that. And as I'm looking through the pictures, I realize that Beth, she was the godmother to one of my children. And as I started reflecting on the relationship with that particular child, sorry. I realized how much she was apart from the day she was born until now. And the day this particular child was born, Beth and Maureen were watching our oldest son while we gave birth. It happened to be a Friday night. And I'm sure nobody remembers. Does anybody remember what was on Friday night? What was that?
America's Most Wanted.
Now, Beth, I used to call Beth a power woman because she testified, and Maureen said how many she testified in. So she'd get dressed up in a suit, and I called her a power woman in a power suit. So her lab was on America's Most Wanted that night. I'm in labor, serious labor. They turned off the TV so I could give birth to this child that was ended up being her godchild. And I missed Beth being on America's Most Wanted. And we don't have the replay now, so I never saw it. Never saw it. Looked for it all the time, but never saw it.
I've seen it.
It exists. So, a few years later, Maureen said that the family received death threats. Beth had notified us as the next of kin. So the people who got the death threat was the other witness. There were two witnesses in the case in Columbia. And the other family received a box with the contents to a bomb. So Beth says, by the way, if you get a box in your driveway, make sure you don't go near it. Here's who to call. So that same child, who's the godchild, was little at the time. I was trying to say it delicately, but stern enough so my kids would not go near a box if it was delivered to our house. So the child pipes up and says, "Is somebody trying to blow us up?" So, and Beth gave us a glimpse. I mean, that's what we had to deal with. But she also gave stories of what it was like when she went to testify, as far as the security that was around her. So she was a power woman who did put herself at risk in order to help not only our country, but other countries as well. So going back to that same child graduates from college, decides to go to the Peace Corps. We all decide, great idea, to go down to the beach. Okay, we don't have a big beach house. Beth slept on the floor in the master bedroom with us because there were other bodies all over the house and you couldn't really sleep anywhere else. Now, when she was there, my dad and stepmother and Beth would go up to the beach every morning and get coffee. I think they were just trying to get away from the chaos that was in that house because there was also a gale storm. So we were stuck in a little itty bitty house with a boatload of way too many people. So now come to this year. We're getting together at Christmas time. That same godchild, the day before she's supposed to get on a plane and come to us, says, "I don't feel well." She's got COVID. She doesn't get on the plane. She doesn't celebrate Christmas with us. Beth sent her a Christmas tree.
Fully decorated.
And those are just a few of the glimpses, but it, as I was going through the pictures, I just, she's there, she's been kind. And the same weekend that she was at Peace Corps, there was a picture taken with Beth and my father on the beach. Both of them have passed now, and my hope is that they're enjoying each other's company, and they're taking wonderful walks on the beach. But wonderful woman, can't say enough about her. I'll miss her, love her, and I hope that she's there when it's my turn to go.
I've known her for 30 years or more, and I discovered her with my volleyball team. One of the hitters had gotten pregnant, so I was looking for another hitter, didn't know any, and fortunately the athletic director in Rockville, who was also friends with law enforcement, who also knew Beth, she wasn't at ATF at the time, said, "Well, I've got this Beth Gillis, and she, you know, the guy that knows her says she's tall and she's great." I'm like, "Okay, I'll call her." And love at first sight. And I was thrilled she was 10 years younger than me. So it was great. So all the years I've known her, and my family has known her, my brother's incredibly fond of her, my three children are, and we're very lucky to spend some time with her. My family calls her a giver. Beth is a giver. And anybody who's ever been touched by her, whether tangentially, accidentally, acquaintance, or related to her, knows this. There aren't a lot of people like that out there that think of other people first. She derived joy out of other people's happiness. Here's a woman who, she would never say she had an encyclopedic memory, but she knew the thousands of connections of all of you, all of her family, co-workers, people that live near, hairdressers. It was amazing. And she would be talking about, you know, the Sibs kids, whom she loved dearly. "Oh, my God, I told them this or this. How do you keep this all? Oh, wow, I do." She did. I have cards, birthday cards, you know, other things from her, other mementos that I kept over the years, and I look at it and I go, "My heavens, here is somebody who really cared, really was interested. Nothing in it for her, but the pleasure of seeing you all benefit." You know, for her family, if somebody needed a ride to the airport, an animal needed wash, you know, time to visit mom, she was there. She even helped me. I had injured myself at Nationals, and I still played pro volleyball, and was prepping for a knee, another knee replacement. And I was thinking, how am I going to decorate my beach house? Because it's worth practically. She said, "Well, I'm planning a trip back from Missouri. I can help you." I'm like, "Yeah, what?" "No, no." She did. She was like a press pro. It was amazing. But that's our Beth. That's just what she was. And when you talk about Maureen, her sister was speaking about her in the middle of the road, she would send me pictures of the, you know, something she found, an animal. We attended several lectures together, always animals. That was her love, and she loved being in the ocean. I know what a hard time she was having with all the stuff on her plate with work and whatever. And when I saw her right before she went to Missouri, she was challenged with this. But she, in those 2 years, rose above it, began exploring herself. I remember when she, prior to that, it was 2018, she had rediscovered, I would call it, as a Presbyterian, her Catholic faith, her love of God, and her wish to be, you know, committed to that, her confirmation. It was wonderful. And then the next 2 years, though, with Maureen and love, was sort of a healing and a more spiritual evolution. Here's somebody who I've said, well, I cared about everybody, and family is so important to her, but the world was important to her. Everything around her was. And she went so far beyond just the religious aspect, the spiritual aspect. And those few weeks, because I would come down to the beach house where she was staying, and we had long talks, no TV watching, no taking selfies at this time. So it was amazing how she had become the new Beth, almost, in my mind, because she always wanted to help people, was always putting people first, but she was also gaining such strength. And I am so, so grateful I had somebody like her in my life. And, you know, the physical is gone, but her soul is eternal. And it will always be that kind of grace, and I know you will.
Dad, which is perhaps one of the greatest honors of my life. Listening to all of you, I'm stunned by the sense of loss that each of us has. But I'm forced to wonder, did God miss her more than we would have, and he called her home to be with him because he needed her, and that he will help us fill that void and that loss if we will keep her in her memory, in our memory. So I ask each of you to pray, continue to pray for her and for the guidance, and he will fill that hole, that emptiness, and he'll be happy with her in his presence. I envision him with her sitting in his lap, his arms clasped around her, giving her the comfort and love that we all crave. Amen.
Even partially filled. All right.
To Beth.
Yes. Yes.